I'm Paul Wegraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining us today by phone is C. Mercedes Walls, but for the sake of our conversation, because I've known Kathy for quite some time. Kathy, I'm going to call you Kathy. Is that okay?
That's wonderful.
Great. Thank to the show, and thank you for joining us. Kathy is an active visual artist from downstate and also active in art leagues downstate, as well as the Delaware State Arts Council, a visual artist representative to the Arts Council and representative from Sussex County. It's so good having you join us today, Kathy. And also, what put you specifically on our radar screen for the show is your current exhibit at the Mezzanine Gallery in the Carville State Office Building in Wilmington. Congratulations on that, for being selected to have a show there. Kathy, tell us a little bit about that exhibit at the Mezzanine Gallery.
Well, I wanted to show the variety of my interests and the different medium that I feel comfortable working in. So I decided to call it Nouns, a collection of people, places, and things. I have oil paintings, acrylics, watercolors, and pastel paintings in there.
And representative of a very diverse experience in the visual arts. Could you tell us a little bit about your background, how you got involved in the visual arts originally, and sort of what that exploratory process has been to ultimately become very accomplished in several different media?
Well, I was the second born in a big family, and I had a wonderful grandfather who was from Barcelona, actually. My mother was born in France and moved here as a child, and he kind of decided I was going to be the artist. I don't ever remember a time when I wasn't told that I was an artist, and he encouraged me. He would save the wax coating off of Gouda cheese, say, here, kitten, make me something, make me a little animal. So he was a shoe designer for Mademoiselle Shoes. That he worked out of the New York Empire State Building. So he was my first teacher, and that's kind of how I got into it. He would draw with me and paint with me and take me to art museums. My aunt did not immigrate with them. She stayed in Marseille, and she just passed away recently, but she was an artist and had a gallery and a framing shop there, and I was to go there and study under her when I was 17. But I rebelled and went on. I decided I wanted to be an oceanographer, and I decided to study biology instead. So I had a long, circuitous route back to the world of art.
Now, I noticed on your website, which is cmercedeswalls.com, a comment that you have is that you are confronted by a universal truth, so much to paint, so little time.
So yes.
My question is, what do you use as subject matter for your painting? What inspires you?
I think it's a combination of two things. I'm a people watcher. I love being in a crowd of people, seeing a little vignette off in your periphery. And I kind of make up my own story for what's going on. I love drawing people scenes, crowd scenes, but also light also attracts me. I mean, I'll be out in my yard, and the light will be hitting a corner of the garden just a certain way, and that will inspire me to paint that. So I carry a little camera around with me, and I try and catch those moments so that when I get into my studio, I can work from my memory and from those photos.
Are you an artist that creates only for yourself, and which is not to mean that you don't sell your artwork, or do you also do commissioned works where someone comes to you and says, "I would love to have a painting or some kind of piece of art"?
Even though I went on to get a degree other than art, and I never really studied art per se, I always painted on the side mostly just by commission. Somebody would say, oh, could you do my house, a painting of my house? Could you do a painting of my dog? So I spent years and years just painting for other people and what other people wanted. And it wasn't until fairly recently that I could just, I did have the time. Well, plus, we were raising a family. So it was pretty much go to work and then come home, take care of the kids, and then work on the latest commission. Then I opened my own studio, and it was working on commissions. So it's only recently, fairly recently, that I've been able to just paint things that I really want to do. And I still take commissions because I do enjoy collaborating with people and working on somebody else's idea. I do enjoy that.
Well, I want to come back to that theme because that's always an interesting one with artists. But let's go back to the Mezzanine Gallery exhibit currently mm-hmm. at the Carville State Office Building. Could you elaborate on some of the kinds of pieces that are in there, the nature of the pieces, the media, the topics?
Even with a still life, I like to tell a story. I would say what I like most about the show is most of the paintings in there, I leave it to the viewer to create their story, but they do tell a story. I have several pieces of crowd scenes or, you know, people scenes. If you look in them, they look at first very busy, and your eyes kind of travels all around the scene, but there'll be one principal activity going on in that scene, and you'll kind of keep going back to that, and you might have automatically made up your mind what's going on in that scene, or you might be trying to create your own story to go with it.
Let me ask you this, because having seen the exhibit in the Carville Building, I was intrigued. I mean, they're beautiful pieces, and as I was going around the gallery, I got to thinking some artists are known for a particular color palette, let's say. But in looking at your work, I was stricken by the colorful range that you use. Could you speak to that in terms of your artwork?
Yeah, I basically have a realistic style. In fact, that kind of annoys me because I try to get away from that and paint perhaps a little more emotionally, a little more impressionistically. But I think it's the use of color. The colors I use in my paintings are not the colors that were there in real life. They suit the mood that I had or the mood that was conveyed in the situation that when I was there. I'm not good at painting from my imagination, so I paint images and scenes that I have witnessed myself. So generally, I'm painting in really bright, vivid colors, but perhaps there's a jazz scene there that's done in very cool greens because that's kind of the night. It was kind of a dark setting, and the music was great, and your focus was on the singer. So the colors change depending on what I want to convey.
Yeah, and that's very clear in looking at the works that the colors, they really draw you in, and I just find them striking. I want to come back to the something you touched on, and that is collaborating with others. Oftentimes, the work of an artist or the life of an artist is seen as somewhat solitary, but could you speak to the nature of your work that you do in terms of being a solitary activity and in terms of being more of a communal collaborative process?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely a people person. I spent 10 years as a probation parole officer where I worked with people every day, all day long. So when I opened my studio, for a long time, it was kind of lonely. You kind of worked by yourself. But when you would get somebody that came in and they'd want you to do maybe a painting of a house from their childhood, it'd be just so nice to sit down with somebody. Probably I was just lonely. But it would be really nice to sit down with that person and kind of pick their brain and come up with exactly what they have in their head. It might be something that doesn't even exist anymore. And we'll work from photos of what's there now, and we'll work with their memory and kind of try and create – what this person has in mind. So that's the most fun with collaborations, is really getting to sit and talk with somebody and kind of talk through the project and try to create not so much my imprint will be on that painting, but to try and bring out something from inside them, what they have in mind.
There's much more to chat about here, but Kathy, if you'll indulge me, let me remind our listeners you're tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest joining us by phone today is Kathy Walls, C. Mercedes Walls. You can visit her website at www.cmercedeswalls.com. And Kathy is an active Delaware artist from Milford, correct? You're in Milford?
Yep, I live in Milford.
And active as a visual artist, a member of the Delaware State Arts Council, and active in the Art League scene. So I'd like to go in that direction, if we can, Kathy, to talk about your involvement in local art leagues and the role that art leagues play, both for the community and for the individual artist.
Okay, well, I think I'll start with for the individual artist, because when a group of us got together to start the Miss Pillion Art League, it was very exciting because it was solitary for me, especially when you live out in the country like I do. You kind of feel like you're the only one doing this and you don't know any other artists and there really wasn't any way to meet other artists locally. I belong to the Rehoboth Art League, but that's kind of a scattered community, and I'm not that close to Rehoboth. So the Art League creates a kind of a structure where artists can come and relate to each other and learn from each other. And I have to say, in the 10 years I've been involved in this league, it's been the biggest growth period for me and for my work, because I've learned so much from the other artists, not only in Miss Pillion Art League, which is the one that I helped start, but with the other art leagues in the area. We have the Millsboro Art League, the Dover Art League, the Nanticoke the arts down there, and it's nice because it seems like we all belong to multiple art leagues, so you can have contact with multiple artists. It provides a venue to display your art and to reach out to the public with your art. It also, art leagues are really important in encouraging artists to keep producing art, because if you're just sitting home painting, you might not have a good outlet to sell your art or to get your art out there in the public. Art leagues are a good way to do that. So you sell some paintings, you got to paint some more. So it encourages the production of art, and it helps artists grow. We have workshops, and I take workshops all the time, and I teach some workshops too. And as far as the community, we do a lot of outreach, just not necessarily to reach artists, but to give people an activity they might not have considered. They don't have to have a goal that they're going to be, the next Rembrandt or that they want to be a master artist. It's some of the classes are just plain fun, and we bring programs into the community to expose the community to arts, to visual arts. So it's really, I think it's a real asset for any community to have a league nearby.
So I'm hearing in what you're saying that there is a varied range of levels of expertise represented in the art league, from the novice to the experienced professional.
Yeah, and I think that the goal of any art league is to make everybody feel comfortable no matter what level they're working at.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important. And to be encouraging and to make it fun. We work with children, of course, but a lot of adults just wanted an outlet. And, I saw this. I thought I'd take this beginning drawing class. And sometimes they surprise themselves. Sometimes they just had a good time, and mm-hmm. we might not see them again. But it's I think it's really a useful function. mm-hmm. to expose people that are not necessarily, you know, artists to the visual arts.
Right. Let me ask you this. It's a question that is frequently asked of visual artists and any artist. Are there particular artists that you have sort of learned from or been inspired by that you sort of look to, you know, through their work or through their teaching or mentoring?
So many. We have, today I'm going to be taking a workshop under Linda Steer. She's a fantastic impressionistic oil painter out of Seaford. Then Nick Saratori, he's a wonderful pastel artist that I have really learned a lot from. Sonia Fry, she is a abstract artist, and I've taken a couple of workshops working with her, and just seeing her work and just talking with her, I just pick up so much. And even the photographers, because photographers kind of possess a special eye that just because you're an artist, you don't necessarily have that. So I pick up a lot from different photographers like Bob Connolly, April Abel, people like that. And these are all local people down in Kent and Sussex County.
You reminded me of an interview I heard recently with, and it's a new book either just came out or is coming out, and I forget the title, but I think it's something like Power of Two. And the author talks about the creative process is not a solitary process, but always a process resulting from communication with someone else or some other group. And he, one of the examples he cited was even Emily Dickinson, who was, you know, notorious for being a solitary individual, had an incredibly active letter writing history with other writers, so that although, you know, she spent much time in solitude, the interaction through her letter writing was sort of that, you know, that process of creative inspiration from other writers. It's an interesting concept, and I kind of thought of that as you're talking about the, you know, working in the Art League and bringing artists together and learning from each other.
It's so true. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a question for you. Because you work in a variety of media, your decisions about what to paint not only revolve around the subject matter, but also the medium that you're going to use. What sort of considerations do you take into account when you know, pick something that you want to deal with artistically?
Well, the way I have developed my skills with different medium, I know what I can do with each one, and as far as whether it's going to be a medium that's going to provide a nice, crisp, sharp, hyper-realistic image or something a little more moody. So, for example, I was in D.C. We were going to Ben's Chili Bowl. It was a really hot July night. And so I did that painting is at the show at the mezzanine right now. When I took a whole bunch of photos in front of it because I knew I wanted to kind of paint that scene as the sun went down. It was dark, but the light was shining from inside Ben's Chili Bowl, kind of like an Edward Hopper diner scene. But when I got it back to the studio and started thinking about how I was going to capture the feeling I had when I was there, I knew pastels. It was hot. It was steamy. Pastels, you can get that kind of hazy look. But it was hot. I wanted bright reds, orange, yellows. So pastels are the purest kind of pigment. So I knew that would be my best chance at creating that feeling I had when I was there that night. So
that's really interesting. And there's also with the various media that you work in, there's kind of a different physicality with each medium, isn't there?
How do you mean?
Well, in terms of how you work with the brushes, how you work with the paint, how you work with. Now, you don't just paint on paper. You use different kinds of backgrounds, I believe, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you paint on watercolors pretty much. I'll always use a nice cold press paper, but because a lot of times when I'm doing watercolors, I'm looking for precision and crispness and whatever. But like oils, acrylics, you can do those on a nice rough surface. You can do that on a canvas and do it thin so you see that you get that canvas texture, or you can just slap it on nice and thick and so it's a little more, I don't know, beefy, a little more impressionistic. So, and again, it depends on the subject matter and what I'm doing. I had done a huge painting of ice cubes and lemons in acrylics. So I knew I wanted something really smooth and sharp, so I had done that on a huge sheet of masonite. So yeah, the base is also taken into consideration.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kathy, we're running out of time here. I just want to wrap up with a few things. One, I want to invite our listeners to, if they're in the Wilmington area, to drop by the Mezzanine Gallery at the Carville State Office Building during the month of August. Just a spectacular exhibit of your work, Nouns. Really some stunning pieces. And for those who don't have a chance to get into Wilmington, there is the... you have some wonderful pieces in your virtual gallery on your website at www.cmercedeswalls.com. Kathy, your work in the visual arts community with the Art Leagues and with the Delaware State Arts Council are greatly treasured, greatly valued. Thank you for spending time with us today. Really appreciated talking with you.
Thank you very much. Okay. I enjoyed it.